Grade 6 Conference, the main lesson, part 3. Just want to say a few words about reports and projects. I've spoken of them more specifically in terms of various subjects. But I think overall, teachers will justify having this experience in the following ways. Number one, particularly at the sixth grade level, this allows a sixth grader to work independently. Number two, this allows a sixth grader to pursue an area of interest which is his or her own, rather than just having to ceaselessly experience what the teacher brings to everybody, the sort of one-size-fits-all methodology of Waldorf education. Number three, this gives the student an experience of standing before the class, or in the upper grades, very often a group of parents as well, and making a presentation. So it cultivates public speaking and poise and things like that. Now, I've spoken about the value or lack thereof of reports in particular and projects to a lesser degree in other parts of this conference. But I just want to address this bigger question, you know, of pedagogical value. Now, let's say a student is doing a project in Roman history. This has become more popular in many schools. So the student decides, I'm going to do something on the aqueducts. I'm going to learn how they worked, and I'm going to make a model of an aqueduct. Now, what sources will the student use to learn about aqueducts? Well, he'll probably go to an encyclopedia or go to the children's library, or, of course, more and more go online. And you can get all kinds of wonderful information about the aqueducts. A lot of it will be factual. And what the student will bring when he's speaking about the aqueducts, just like his classmate who's talking about Roman fashion, or the classmate who's talking about how the catapult developed in Roman weaponry and so on, they are primarily going to be drawing on sources which teach them facts. That's what most sources and resources are in our world today. They're going to be bringing a lot of facts. They are very, very likely not going to be bringing anything about the human drama of conceiving the aqueduct, of being part of the planning of constructing an aqueduct. The human side, the biographical side, which is such a large and important part of the way in which we teach everything. It's a little bit like Persephone in grade 5 in the Odyssey, Penelope, rather, who every day weaves a beautiful tapestry and every night unweaves it, pulls out all of the threads. To do a report for most children under most circumstances is unweaving what the teacher is trying to do in the teaching of history or any particular science. It's going right into the mainstream public school world of factual information, and that's what the children are bringing. Well, you might say, but it's also hands-on. You know, the child has to create something, construct something. They have to make a nice poster explaining what they've learned. Very often, I think I can safely say, in a majority of cases, the child is doing very little of that construction. Parents, particularly fathers who are getting more involved altogether, the father is getting involved. Now that's fine, but then we should call it a parent-student project. There's a kind of pretense that the student has done all of this. Unless you have taught them all kinds of building, modeling techniques, building models of things is actually very hard to do it in a really nice way, an artistic way. Very often the work that they do is nothing to speak of artistically. Usually the children's posters are done in a much sloppier way than you would ever allow anything to be done in a main lesson book. So here again, they're really doing things which are counter to all of the things that we're trying to cultivate. And we could also say, well, it shows where the kid really is at. You know, this is really where their achievements lie. If this is what you need to do, if you need to go that far to know where your students lie, then you have a problem as an observer of your students. If you need some big public to do like this to see where they really are, then you've got a problem in understanding the very students who are before you. And then comes the presentation time. You are taking time away once again from the main lesson. So often, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teachers look back at the end of the year, where did all the time go? Oh my gosh, I only did 2/3 of that, and I was lucky I did 3/4 of that one, and that other one I hardly did half of the material. We had a snow day or whatever. The reality is, look back at the reports, at the projects, at a host of things which are really unnecessary, extraneous in many respects to what Waldorf education is all about. Look at the time spent on that. And you also will have specialty teachers telling you they didn't do their German history all week long, their German homework all week long because they were working on their projects. Or they said that they couldn't practice their violin because they were working on their projects. You know, it becomes then this catch-all for a whole host of irresponsible activity and behavior on the part of the children as well. Now, it may be that you can bring much more control, that you are much more engaged in every step of the way, that what the children will do will really harmonize with what you're teaching them. If so, then go ahead. But I just ask you to take my words to heart. Even if, once again, as is so often the case, it's going to mean that you are going to have to swim against the current and do something which your colleagues will say has become a tradition and it's expected. Okay, traditions are there, but traditions can be changed. You can start new traditions. You know, someone started the tradition, someone can also bring it to an end. But if you're in a young school where this sort of thing has not yet begun, then be very cautious when you do something new, when you do something that perhaps is not completely really Waldorf in nature. You're not just doing something with your own class, you're also establishing a precedent. And once something is in place, like reports, like a lot of homework, like block tests, like many of the things that we've been looking at in this conference, it's easy to start it, very, very hard to bring it to a conclusion. So I urge you to give this a lot of thought and to see if this is something that's really adding something to what you're teaching or if it's really a much more subtractive activity. And I would have to say the same about most kinds of quizzes and all kinds of block tests. If after 3 or 4 weeks of teaching a block, you don't know from their compositions, from their book work, from classroom discussions, from the reviews in which every child should be participating, at least in the course of a week or two, if all of that does not tell you what they know, that you still need to test them, there again, that's a pedagogical problem for you as the teacher. Now, it might be argued, well, the kids are asking for tests. They want to feel that they've really made a new step, or they want to feel that they're like their friends who go to mainstream schools who get tests. So they want me to give it to them. I don't know what to say about that. They'd like a lot of things, including probably more time for free play and a lot less time for classroom work. I think you really have to be making the judgments at this age and through the grades about something as important as a test. And then, of course, there's the pressure of parents who want to know how you know what you say you know. And once again, are you explaining things well enough to the parents? You know, all of this is a matter of parent education. Their basic judgment of a school is the school to which they went. And it's not that you just explain everything in grade one and two, and that's that. You have to keep re-explaining. You have to keep telling the parents again and again in ever new ways and ever more vibrant ways to make it interesting for them what is different about Waldorf education down to our assessment methods. Nervous parents are always going to be with us. There'll always be some problem, some issue. A parent comes new who did not bond with you in the early grades and is filled with questions. You have to be explaining. I would say, if anything, you need more meetings in the upper grades with parents, more individual meetings, more phone calls, more general parent nights, so that you can be showing them, even at this age, that Waldorf still has something unique to bring, and that you as the teacher are the one bringing it, but you have to be given the space and the time to do it. We are at a time now in Waldorf education where parental anxieties are more and more of a factor in the important decisions that are being made in the school. Now, Steiner said that these were free schools, meaning that the faculty was not going to be told by the state or the church what to teach and how to teach it. And that goes for parents as well. You want to have dialogue with parents, conversations with parents for sure. But in the end, it is you, the teacher, who hopefully, having done your homework, understanding the developmental stages of the child, understanding the rationale for Waldorf pedagogy, it is you who make those vital decisions. And the main lesson is that battlefield in which you must have the courage to really go forward out of your best lights, certainly not working out of pressure or out of the fear of anyone around you.